sini.
Nah, aku suruh.
Genesis, the book of Genesis, and we're going to read Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 27, and then we're going to jump to Genesis chapter 2, verses 7. Y'all there?
Amen.
I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds in the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Again, he says, male and female, he created them. Now jump to chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils." That's what King James says. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living thing. Father, we thank you for your words for us this morning. Lord, speak to us as people, as your children, as people that you created, Lord God. God of the universe, God of the galaxies, created us. What an awesome thing and what a wonderful thing to know. Holy Spirit, we ask that you speak to our hearts this morning, that your word will transform us as we get out of this building, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
And y'all may all sit down. And the title of my message this morning is, Who Am I? Who is Rose that you see? Who is Rose that people know among my classmates? Or who is Rose that's on Facebook? Now for many teenagers, for many teenagers, there's several names. But you know, I have this person here. If you were to look at him in the picture, what do you think is his occupation or who is he? Businessman, anything else? Psychologist. Okay, anything else?
Huh? He has some kind of degree.
He has some, so you see him as a person with a kind of degree because of his outfit, isn't it right? Okay, next slide. I just picked this because I don't know this person. He's a Steve Corber and he's I guess he's in real estate. So he's a, somebody's a businessman. Next slide. Now, how about this person? Who do you think is this person? Looking at it. Guitar player, yeah. Aside from the guitar player, because that's obvious. What?
From India.
From India, okay. You got
a student.
A student, okay. Anything else? It's getting interesting, okay.
What?
What?
So teenagers, they will sort of
you as a one who is a preppy person. He's a preppy person. One who dresses nice, right? They dress nice, you're preppy. Did you get that? Or did you
heard that?
You're a preppy person. Or one that wears athletic clothes. Or is the next slide? No, that's a goth. One who wears black, everything is black, is a goth. Gothic, right? And then the next slide, because you wear athletic clothes, you're the jock. That's all. These are words that I learned. And then the next slide. Oh, he's the gangster, because you know they wear their cap backwards. They have these. They wear their shorts like. I don't know why they do that. But they have the underwear showing. You label them as a gangster. They may not be the gangster, but like the first two slides, they're like executive, they come from executive to salesperson, or a CEO to a salesperson, and then from beggar to singer. So the same thing with these people, you know, but in the school, in the middle school, they usually label all these people like preppy, you're a jock, you're a goth. Or if you're a professional, you would say, oh, I'm a computer analyst. I'm a nurse. Now they even change the names now. If you're in they used to call you phlebotomist. In Kaiser they call you a medical scientist. And or they call you different names just so it looks professional. Or if you would also identify yourself as I'm an American. I'm a Filipino. I am a Hispanic. Now Jesus, or John, the apostle of Jesus, you know how he labeled himself? When he wrote his gospel, he says, John, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Isn't that wonderful? To be identified as Jesus whom Jesus loved. That was the apostle John. Especially nowadays where love and lust are used interchangeably. You know, love and lust. Lust is love is lust. Or in the homes, there's no longer love in the family because they're all, they abuse children. And so there was a documentary, I don't know if you read this one, about a 13-year-old. And he was a street kid, and they asked him, what would you like, what kind of house would you like to live? And then he said, a mansion. And then they asked him, what kind of parents would you like to have in that mansion? And then he said, I'd like to have parents with duct tape on their mouth so that they would not yell at me. And then I would like them to have hands that are handcuffed so that they won't hit me. So that's the kind of love that this person has in his thoughts, right? And see, who you are, determines your sometimes your choices in life. Paul, in fact, when he was a writer of most of the epistles, he considers himself as the bondservant. If you do a word study, I encourage you to do a word study on the word bondservant. And it is because you are like a slave of Jesus Christ. I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. And some of the epistles, he considered himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, Peter, and James, they consider themselves as apostles of Jesus Christ. Now, if I were to ask you, who are you? Who am I? Because you know why? You really need to know who you are. Because there's this person, our enemy is just waiting for the opportunity to do an identity theft. If there's identity theft on the computer, we have a person that always does identity theft. He wants to steal your identity because his goal is to steal, but to kill and to destroy. So Satan wants you to forget who you are in Christ. Now there are other ways where we are tempted to identify ourselves, to define who we are. Sometimes we are a woman who just love to get praised. You know, when I used to work, I got a lot of praises, and I like that there's a fulfillment in my job because you are appreciated for what you do, and not only that, you get paid for what you do. Then you get home, sometimes you don't get appreciated. Well, I don't mean me, but sometimes some people, they get home, they don't get appreciated by their husbands for what they do, even if they stay home. And then I really, really praise all housewives. Like, Bob, I love you, Barbara. I mean, being right now, I'm a housewife, and I love being a housewife. If my identity was my job, now that I'm a housewife, retired, and not getting paid, then I would say life is nothing. Life is hopeless. There's no reason to live, right? Or maybe a husband that's always been climbing through the ladder of success, you know, like competing with other men, because that's how men are. They love to conquer the world. They love to conquer. They love to compete. That's what men are. And so you are blinded by the success and then at the expense of your family, because you define yourselves with your success in your job, promotions. Or when you can also be tempted as an empty nester, like we are with Pastor Edna, when your children are gone, because you all your life, you have been concentrated on your children, raising your children, giving everything to your children, you know, because that's what your life is all about as a mother. And so when your children are gone, you don't know what to do with your life because your children are all gone. And now you get depressed, you get, you know, there's no purpose to life because all your children are gone. In fact, sometimes couples don't even know what to do with themselves anymore because their kids are gone. All their life they've been concentrating on their kids, feeding the kids, serving the kids. But then when the kids are gone, when they become empty nesters, what happens? They divorce because there's no more purpose being husband and wife. You forget you are still a wife and a husband. I mean wife, husband, mother, father also. But, you know, when the kids are gone, you're more of a husband and wife now. So now those are some of the temptations. But how about young ladies? Sometimes I can, as a young lady, define myself or that I am through my relationship with my boyfriend or with relationships. So that when you have a breakup, when you have a disagreement, or life has become so hopeless. No more reason to live because now I define myself by my boyfriend, by my relationship. Isn't that some of the temptations that we have in this world now? Or sometimes you define yourself by the praises of people, so you try so hard to live up to the expectations of people, and your expectations are so high that when there's failure, there's no reason to live, you know, hopeless, life is hopeless. Now, if you are one of the brainiacs, intellectuals, the geniuses, the scientists, you know, who believe that we are animals, that we are came some, you know, from the apes, that we are the end result of evolution, that we're no different from the animals, that we are simply an accident, that that's how you will make your choices. Like that man in the house, he says, you know, I don't care. When I die, I'm going to return to dust. Because he sees himself as just like an animal, like, you know, after death, there's nothing left after death. You know, we return to dust. And so we're just existing here on earth without a purpose. Isn't that what it is? Now, have you heard about this atheist who went to court, got a lawyer? This atheist went, got a lawyer, and he wanted to have a case against all the Catholics and the Jews, because of the holidays, you know, when he's an atheist and he doesn't have a holiday. So then the judge, when he was in front of the lawyer and heard about the case, he says, case dismissed. And then of course the defense attorney said, Your Honor, he said, my client does not have any holiday in all these Catholics. Have a Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter, and the Jews have their Yom Kippur and have their Hanukkah. And here, Your Honor, my client does not have any holiday. And then the judge says, your client is ignorant, you know, and there's April 1st. And then the Bible, Psalm 14, says, if the fool says in his heart there is no God, and that's his holiday. Case dismissed. Case adjourned. So that's what happened. So those are some of the temptations. I mean, the things that our intellectuals or brainiacs or scientists have to tell us, that we are animals, or we are like part of an evolution, the end result of evolution. Or perhaps we see ourselves as machines, that we are only have no value, that we are humans, the property of the state. Or according to Freud, if you know Freud, I know if you study psychology, Freud is one of the psychologists, and he says we are just a bag of hormones. And then what happens if you, even if you satisfy all your need, you still find yourself empty, right? Because if that's who you are, a bag of hormones, and then you satisfy all those hormonal needs, and then you still find yourself empty, right? Mm-hmm. Or this new age are saying that we are like a spirit. There's pantheism, everything. Spirit, you have to connect to yourself in your spirit. And that's how some of the people define themselves. Now, we are, the Bible tells us we are more than that. And, you know, because who you are, as I said, determines your destiny, and because also who you are sometimes determines your choices in life. Now, there was, on our way to Canada, our airplane was, had mechanical failure. So then we had to rebook, and we were going to attend a conference that night, was it that night? Yes, over in Canada. So we were all lined up. We were all lined up to these counters to get to be rebooked by these agents that were there on the counters. We were in gate 22. And then suddenly this angry passenger goes into the counter. And then he says, I demand that I should be in that flight, first class flight that's boarding right now, and I am in first class, he says. And then the lady says in the counter, says, I'm sorry, sir, but you know, these people are ahead, because we were all lined up and the line was gone, but he went to the front. He says, I'm sorry, sir, but I have to take care of these people in the front. And then he says, don't you know who I am? And then the lady in the counter, she went ahead and got the microphone that's overhead the airplane, the airport. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, we have a gentleman here in gate 22, in the counter of gate 22, who doesn't know who he is. Please come and help him who he is. And then everybody that was lined up, they all clap their hands and says, hallelujah. Because now they are going to be, you know, this man was embarrassed. You're supposed to be laughing by now. Now, we define ourselves by who we are, by what the Bible tells us, right? We just have learned who God is. He revealed himself to us through his name. Now, if we believe that we are a creation of God, then we are, in fact, the Bible tells us that we are the apple of his eyes. So if you would open to me on your Bible in Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 8, for it says that we are the apple of his eye. Zechariah, I don't think I put it on the computer, because I wanted them to have their Bibles open. Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 8. It says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Wow. We are the apple of his eye. Now go to Psalms 17, verse 8. Because I'm going to show you in the Bible, in the Word of God, it says that we are the apple of His eye. Psalm 17, verse 8. Y'all there? As the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings. Do you know what? That apple of the eye is the pupil, you know, the very important part of the eye. Can you imagine that? That's how the, it's like a metaphor where the, in the pupil, you are very important in the eyes of God. Another scripture, Deuteronomy 32, chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 10.
Whether we are white, black, or brown,
we are created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. And that value, that gives you value, that makes you special, that makes you the apple of God's eye. We have the ability to relate to God. We have the ability to worship God, because God has put His Spirit within you so we can get worship God in spirit and in truth. In other words, we have an intrinsic value. Psalms 100 verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and not we ourselves." It's very clear. Know that the Lord, He is God. He is He who made us, not we ourselves. That gives us value, that gives us dignity. What's the second one? God has given us dominion. He says, if you go further, He says, "Let them have dominion over the sea, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." They are going to subdue the earth. Look after and care for the earth. Investigate, research, discover the earth's resources. You know, man has done that. And sometimes man creates his own destruction. You know, God's intent for us is for our own good. But, you know, people now are so wise that they are, you know, they're going further away from what God has created, the purpose for what God has created us. We are not just any other animal. And no, you know what, every day when there are days that I have to feed Biscuit and Kimba, I'm so glad I'm not them, you know, because I have the freedom. I said, I'm not like you. I'm not an animal like you. I'm a human being created by God, created by the El Shaddai, the Elyon. So I am a special creature of God. In other words, the care of creation has been entrusted to us. That's stewardship. Whatever the Lord gives you, your children, your house, your car, your money, your possessions, your talent, your gifts, we have dominion over them. We are to take care and to be good stewards of what God has given us. That's dominion. Take care of what God has given us. That is dominion. God has given us dominion, right? You know, the animals will care less, because Kimba has destroyed all my plants. He will care less about your plants. And don't be like like an animal destroys the buildings with your graffiti and all this, and destroy them or throw eggs on your mat. You are supposed to take care of the creatures of God. That's our responsibility. That's the third one. God has given us distinction. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And He said, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living thing." Psalm 8:5 says, "For thou hast made him lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Very special. All the DNAs, the molecules, and all the atoms that are put together, they were created. They were all, you know, they were all specially formed by God. Yesterday we were at the ultrasound. The Irvin and Mia had a 4D ultrasound for baby Ezra. Yeah. Yes, they're going to have a boy. It's going to be a boy. And so, to me, it is just the most fascinating thing to see the formation of the human being. I mean, even then he's already starting to, he's starting to yawn. Did you see them yawn? He's open the eyes, and then he's doing this. I think his Ezra is gonna be shy baby. He's gonna be shy because he keeps hiding between underneath his arms. And you know that's technology. If you
you are able to see the human being. You used to have that, you know, you are able to see the human being inside the womb even before they are born. And I can still can't believe how men could just do abortions and kill babies, you know, for nothing. Every creature of God is special in His eyes. And as believers, if you are a creature of God, as believers, we don't just exist. When God created you, God gave you, created you for a purpose. And that's why I was discussing with Regine, you know, because she just has this gift of like putting things together. And I said, you know, it's just innate. God has just gifted you with so much, you know, music, you know, that she can just play the strum, the guitar, and sing, and just to worship. That's a gift. And she's using it for God. Because, you know, as believers, if you still believe the Bible, there's going to be a time when we're going to be all facing God and going to give account of the lives that we've lived. If we count ourselves as like the intellectuals, the geniuses that are animals, you don't care about that. But we are as believers, we're going to face our Creator one day and give account of what we have done on earth, while we have taken care of the gifts and the talents of the creatures that He has given us, right? And then, in fact, unbelievers will also be judged at that time. And I believe that, and I'm looking forward to that day when there's an atheist, Anthony Flew. He was an atheist, and he gave up atheism. You know how old he was when he gave up atheism? He was 81 years old. He was a noted critic of God's existence for several decades, until he wrote the book, My Pilgrimage from Atheism to Theism. This is Anthony Flew. And he says, and this is what he says, the most impressive arguments for God's existence are those that are supported by recent scientific discoveries. I think the argument for intelligent design is enormously stronger than when I first met it. That is the words of Anthony Flew. So now, I will conclude by a clip of a movie from Mother's Night Out. This is a chick flick, I think. It was always a story of mother. So God has given us dominion, distinction, and dignity. Remember that. All right, everybody, take it away.
Sorry. Sean, kids,
written my mother, God, everybody, I don't know.
Not a lot for you. I was raised in church. This might surprise you, but I've since drifted from the faith. My mama worked three jobs. I never met my daddy. I had to get up early and walk to school, but I'd wait up for her coming home from the diner. I'd wait up every night because she'd come home. She'd put me to bed and she'd tell me something. She'd tell me the same thing every night. He loves you, Charles. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, how far you run, Jesus will always be loving you with his arms open wide, just for being you. And I'd smile when I walked to sleep. You know, I saw something on Pinterest the other day. It was illegal, just caring for its time. Beautiful thing was one of God's creations, just doing what he made to do, just being a leader. And that's enough. Why spend so much time beating yourselves up? It must be exhausting. I doubt the good Lord made a mistake giving your kiddos the mama he did. So you just be you. He'll take care of us.
So now you have to ask yourself, who am I? God says you are the apple of his eyes. Just be you.